You're listening to Business English Pod, the Business English podcast for professionals on the move.
Welcome back to Business English Pod. My name's Jennifer and I'll be your host for this episode, the second of a two-part series on talking about your job and company. What can you say about your company? How would you describe it? There are a number of things to consider. There's the company size, its employees, and its branches. But there's also company history, culture, reputation, and future plans. In today's lesson, we'll cover language for talking about your company. We'll start with giving the basic facts and then move on to ways to describe company culture and structure, reputation, and the organization's future plans and goals. We'll listen to Stella, an IT manager, and Rhonda, a recruiter who is helping Stella find a new job. In the last episode, Stella told Rhonda about her job and her concerns about the company's old equipment and outdated technology. Today, she'll tell Rhonda more about the company itself. As you listen to the dialogue, try to answer the following questions. 1. How many people work at Stella's company? 2. What does Stella's company sell? 3. What are two ways the company contributed to the local community?
I like my company and I enjoy training, but I feel like my talents could be better used in a different position.
I see what you mean. Is it a large company?
Not really. About 100 people in all. There are two offices, one here and one in Northport. They sell all kinds of insurance.
I'm surprised they'd be using such old technology.
I know. The culture is a little rigid, though. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And everything needs to go through the proper channels.
Yeah, some companies are like that.
True. But aside from that, it's a good company, really involved with community service. They've donated to auctions and fund tutoring programs for children.
I've seen that in the press. So why do you want to leave?
Well, as much as I like my company, I still have to look out for my own career.
Sure.
As far as I can tell, there are no significant changes on the horizon. No plans for expansion, no upgrades. It's a tough decision, but if I don't make a move now, it'll be harder to change jobs in the future.
Let's go back through Rhonda and Stella's conversation and look at the language they use.
I see what you mean. Is it a large company?
Not really. About 100 people in all. There are two offices, one here and one in Northport. They sell all kinds of insurance.
Rhonda starts by asking Stella about her company's size. She tells her the number of employees, 100 in all. We use the phrase in all to signal a total number. Stella also tells her how many offices the company has and what they sell. When you're talking about your company, basic facts like these serve as an introduction. You can also include facts about the type of business, how long the company has been operating, and what the client base is like. Let's run through some examples of what you could say to relate basic facts about your company.
The firm was founded in 1890.
We produce electric motors for the automobile industry.
Our clients are mostly mid-sized companies.
The company is based in Germany, but we have a satellite office in Austria.
We're an OEM manufacturer for the computer industry.
We specialize in developing microchips for mobile devices.
Before we continue, let's go over some vocabulary in those examples. To found a company is to start it. A mid-sized company is one that's not big and not small. It fits right in the middle. Satellite is a word we use to describe something that is separated from its main base or headquarters. So a satellite office is part of a company, but not the main location. And an OEM makes products that other companies use for their own products. OEM stands for Original Equipment Manufacturer. Next, Stella shares a bit about her company's culture and structure.
I'm surprised they'd be using such old technology.
I know. The culture is a little rigid, though. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And everything needs to go through the proper channels.
Company culture is a lot like culture in society. It can be formal or informal, and employees tend to follow certain customs. For example, some companies have open-door policies. Literally, this means that managers keep their office doors open, but it also implies that managers are always accessible to employees and that employees are welcome to drop in at any reasonable, convenient time. Company structure refers to the way companies are organized. There might be divisions or departments. There can also be a hierarchy, which means that some employees have more authority than others. Stella uses a popular English saying to describe her company's rigid culture. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. In other words, if there are no apparent problems, there's no reason to make changes. In spite of the company's old technology and equipment, it's still working fine, so management doesn't see any reason to change. Notice that this saying uses the word ain't. This is another way to say isn't. Ain't is a controversial word in English, with many people thinking it's improper or non-standard. In this context, with Stella quoting a common saying, it's fine. But otherwise, it's safer to avoid using ain't in a business conversation. Now let's hear some other ways to describe a company's culture and structure.
We have 6 divisions, each serving a different geographic area.
There's an open door policy here. It's no problem to stop by someone's office.
Our office culture is very informal. We can wear jeans and t-shirts to work if we want to.
Company management is a strict hierarchy.
In the next segment, Stella discusses her company's reputation.
But aside from that, it's a good company, really involved with community service. They've donated to auctions and fund tutoring programs for children.
I've seen that in the press.
A company's reputation is the way it's viewed by others, from industry professionals to the general public. Some companies involve themselves in community service in order to build a good reputation. They might donate money to charities, sponsor local art events, or have employees help clean a city park. Stella's company has donated to auctions, sales in which items go to the highest bidder. Auctions are sometimes held to raise money for community organizations like hospitals or schools. The company also funds, or pays for, tutoring programs for children. Rhonda responds that she's seen that in the press. She has read stories about Stella's company in the newspaper. The press can have a huge influence on a company's reputation, since positive or negative stories in the news media can spread very quickly. Any scandal, a situation that brings disgrace to the company, will damage a reputation. When discussing your company's reputation, think about how it's perceived by others. Is it a leader among its peers? Has it won awards? Does its CEO participate in charitable causes? Let's practice some more ways to talk about a company's reputation.
Our CEO has been involved in a scandal, which does not make us look good.
My company is known for its excellent customer service.
We have won several awards for our advertising campaigns.
In 2008, the city named us Employer of the Year.
Now the conversation turns to future plans and goals for Stella and her company.
So why do you want to leave?
Well, as much as I like my company, I still have to look out for my own career.
Sure.
As far as I can tell, there are no significant changes on the horizon. No plans for expansion, no upgrades. It's a tough decision, but if I don't make a move now, it'll be harder to change jobs in the future.
Stella says she has to look out for her own career. This means she has to manage her career for herself and do what she thinks is right for her. And even though she likes her company, she doesn't think her situation there will improve. She explains that there are no significant changes on the horizon. This means that there are no changes planned for the near future, as far as she can see. A similar way to express this time concept is in the not-too-distant future. Stella also doesn't see any plans for expansion or growth, so she feels she has to change jobs soon. Technology advances quickly, and if she can't keep up the pace, then she won't be as marketable to other employers if she changes jobs later on. A company's future can be just as important as its past. Let's look at some more ways to discuss your company's future plans.
We're planning to open 5 new branches in South America next year.
Our company is renting a new office, so we're getting ready to move.
I'm glad to say we'll be hiring 10 new people in the spring.
I'm afraid we'll be downsizing in the not-too-distant future.
Our main focus is corporate finance, but we're expanding into the consumer market.
To downsize something means to make it smaller. In business, this often means decreasing the number of employees through layoffs. But it can also mean moving to a smaller office space. And consumer markets refers to the general public, as opposed to markets that are focused on other businesses. Now, let's practice some of the language we've covered today. First, we'll practice language that can be used to relate basic facts about your company. You'll hear a question followed by a prompt. Use the language in the prompt to answer the question. For example, if you hear,
"When was your company founded?"
"In 1930.
You can say,
"My company was founded in 1930.
We'll play an example answer after each one. Are you ready? Let's give it a go.
Where is your company based?
London. Example answer. My company is based in London.
How many employees does your company have?
About 75. Example answer. My company has about 75 employees.
What do you manufacture?
Computer hardware. Example answer. We manufacture computer hardware.
Who are your clients?
Mainly hospitals and clinics. Example answer. Our clients are mainly hospitals and clinics.
Now let's practice useful vocabulary and idioms. You'll hear a series of sentences with a word replaced with a beep. Repeat the whole sentence saying the missing word. For example, if you hear,
"We plan to open new stores in the not too distant,"
you can say,
"We plan to open new stores in the not too distant future."
After each response, we'll play the correct answer. Let's begin.
To get results, you need to go through the proper answer. To get results, you need to go through the proper channels.
Have you read anything about this project in the answer? Have you read anything about this project in the press?
We were all surprised by the answer. We were all surprised by the scandal.
The company was in the 1950s. Answer. The company was founded in the 1950s.
We've reached the end of this episode, the second of a two-part series on talking about your company and job. We've covered ways to discuss basic facts about your company, as well as the culture, structure, reputation, and future plans. For more practice, premium members can access the online quizzes and study notes for this and other episodes in the new Learning Center. Not a member yet? Then just head over to www.businessenglishpod.com and sign up for a free trial to preview some of the extra resources available to members. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Want to get more out of Business English Pod? Then go to www.businessenglishpod.com and sign up as a premium member. Premium members can access detailed study notes and the new phrase cast to practice all the useful language we featured today.